You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church, located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
Anyways, I wanted to just kind of pick up where we left off with our series last week. And actually, before I do that, I want to honor the mother of my kids, Beth, and I'm very grateful and thankful for her. I left the house on Friday with four kids, and I came back home from work that afternoon with five. And I don't know how that works or how that happens, but until Tuesday, we have a little girl named Dream in our house. And if you've not seen her, man, you just got to see her. She is a dream, that's for sure. And you know, I was thinking about again, I didn't know anything about when I came home, and I didn't know what was going on. And at first, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, you know, we had opening day for the boys baseball yesterday for the two older ones. And we had it was just a crazy weekend, right? And I came home and I'm thinking, how in the world are we going to do this? And then, last night I saw little Dream. She was all in her little, you know, place where she sleeps in her, you know, whatever it's called. I don't know. I'm not a mom. I don't know. So anyways, thank you. So anyways, but I was thinking, you know, the Lord just prompted me to pray for her, you know, and maybe some way God brings these little people into our home for a short period of time. And it's our job, you know, to like pray for them. And then it's our job to tell you about it so you could pray for them too. So her name is Dream. And if you guys would just remember Dream, for whatever reason, Dream at 3 months old is not with her mother. You know, and she needs prayer. So I just say that to you today. You know, the scripture, it does talk about taking care of the orphans and the widows. And the scripture says this, scripture says that is really what true religion is. Did you know that? That's what the scripture says. And you know, if the Lord would prompt you to be a foster parent, sometimes foster parenting is just respite care for just a short period of time. It really is a blessing. And truthfully, we get more out of it. And my boys would say the same thing. They get more out of it than what, certainly what we are ever able to give in and of ourselves. And I remember this, though. I will tell you that there was a time when I said to myself, we will never do that again. We will never go there. You understand what I mean? I mean, you know, there was a time when I couldn't go there, meaning I could not get back into that fostering thing, you know? We were in a very vulnerable position, and not only that, but we just experienced some real hurt and pain of having, and many of you remember, Colin and Charlie, who were with us for 9 months, and they were with us, and then, you know, it did not work out. And I remember them coming with nothing, and I remember them leaving with the caseworker having to make two trips with all the stuff that they had. And that leaving, that departure was something that just was filled with just real sorrow and hurt. And I said to myself, because of that experience, I said, I will never go there again, you know? And here's what I think, and this is kind of what leads us into what we're talking about today. I believe that many of us have had experiences in life where we have said to ourselves, we will never go there again. We just can't put ourselves out there. We just cannot go there because we found ourselves in a very vulnerable place, a very difficult spot, and we experienced the sting, the hurt. We experienced whatever was associated with that vulnerability and with that pain, whatever came with that. We said to ourselves, we are not going to stick our necks out again. We are not going to do that. We're not going to go there and experience again what we experienced back here. You with me this morning? And for some of us, maybe that's a hurt relationship. Maybe that's a marriage going bad. Maybe for some of us, it is an issue that you had with your mother. Maybe an issue that you have with your daughter or with your son. But you said to yourselves, I'm just going to stay in this place. I'm just going to stay right here because I'm not going to go there again. For some of us that are sitting here, it is a negative church experience. You found yourself in a very vulnerable place. And you stuck your neck out. You tried to make a difference in this world. You tried to make a difference in the church. You tried to stick your neck out and help. And you only meant for good. And you got stung. And you said to yourself, I will never do that again. I will never get involved with that kind of thing again. And so we've been in this message series called what? Traction, right? And this message series called Traction. And we've been talking about how to gain traction, how to get traction, how to move from where you are to a place where you can find healing, to a place where you can find spiritual growth, where you can move forward as opposed to being stuck in the same place. And I believe, truthfully, we all are in need of traction. We all need to make spiritual progress, and we all need to move forward. But I'll tell you this right here and now. You cannot move forward. You can never gain traction if you have a mindset that you will never go there again. You will never stick your neck out there like you did before. And here's the point. The point of all of this, the point of this message for today is you got to have traction to get somewhere. We would all agree with that, right? You have to have traction to get somewhere. And in order to get traction for the focus of today, you have to be in connection with the body of Christ. You have to be in relationship with others in order to have traction. We are not designed in and of ourselves to get from here to where we want to be in terms of healing and grace and moving forward. And truthfully, we cannot do it in and of ourselves. We have to do it in conjunction with relationships and connectedness with others within the body of Christ. That's the truth. For some of us, this is really difficult. Because we have experienced that sting and maybe it's not within a church setting. Maybe it's a sting within your own family. And you experience the hurt in that. And you say to yourselves, I can never trust anyone again. Does that ring with you? Well, the writer of Galatians, who is Paul... Paul writes this letter with this whole idea of exactly what we're talking about. People were in conflict and there were tension and there were hurt feelings and people really had, they really were well-meaning, but in their well-meaning, they were entrenched with certain beliefs and what they did was they became critical and they became hard on one another and it just, people were hurt. They were stung. They had a negative experience within their relationships. And so Paul is writing this letter, and this is what he says to all of us. He is addressing us because he understands that in the early church and in the church today, that we cannot as a church or a body of Christ or a believer of Jesus move past our own stuff, get out of where we are, get unstuck unless we get traction. And we have, in order to get traction, we've got to be connected with one another. He writes this with all this in mind. So he starts out in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Here's what he says. He says, dear, say it with me, brothers and what? Sisters. Think of it. That's where he starts. Dear brothers and sisters, almost as a look, writing as a reminder, hey, you know what? You are a brother and a sister in Christ. Now, I don't know about you all, but there are things that my brothers know about me that I would never want you to know. That is the honest to God truth. I promise you that is for real. And they could blow my Facebook and all my friends. They could ruin my reputation forever. You know, it's not that bad, but you know what I mean. There are things. Meaning this, my brother, yeah, we have our own issues, man. But, you know, I could tell you stories of them too, by the way, and they're listening. Ronnie's at home listening. I guarantee you he's watching this on Facebook Live. He's probably blowing it up right now. Anyways, by the way, we welcome all of our Facebook viewers, don't we? Facebook live stream. Hey, you know what? There were over 40 of you Facebook live stream people that watched last week. 40 folks, over 40 from beginning to end that are a part of this community. Isn't that awesome? It's not just physically who's sitting here, but it's also a virtual component to all of this that's just wonderful. And we welcome you. And those that aren't here presently or with us physically, they are just as much a brother and sister to this church as any one of us. Right on? Right on. So Paul's writing and he says, dear brothers and sisters, reminding them. And what's interesting about this passage is in Galatians 6 verse 1, he calls us brothers and sisters. And then in Galatians 6 verse 10, he closes this section out and talks about the family of faith, Brother Jim McGuire. Not only are you, Jim, a brother, but we are a part of the family of faith. And there's some powerful words in all of that, man. Some very powerful words that are all to our benefit, not to our harm. Paul writes this, he doesn't want any one of us to be stuck. He wants all of us to find this traction and this ability to connect and be in relationship with one another. Look, when I grew up in the West Carrollton Church of the Nazarene that you guys are probably so sick of hearing about, I will tell you this, everyone was a brother. When I grew up, it's how you address people, right? It was, you know, hey, Brother Britton, Brother Scott Britton. We called each other brothers. You know, sister, we call each other, you know, I'd see the pastor's wife and call her sister. Look at your neighbor right now. Just say, hey, brother, sister, how you doing? Right? Yeah, brothers and sisters in this place. Holly, you're my sister. You know, you really, look, brother and sister, we don't do that today, right? We don't, for whatever reason, we don't do it today. I guess it kind of wigs some folks out, but here's the truth. The truth is that there's a real positive experience about being a part of the family of faith. It's a beautiful thing when it's working like it needs to work. And you know, truthfully, maybe the reason why it wigs some of us out, look, I'm not his brother, you know, maybe the reason it wigs some of us out is because it hasn't worked like it needed to work. And we've made it something that it's not. And we've abused the idea of what God initially had in mind about being a part of the family of faith. So he writes this, Paul writes this, he writes this to these people, to this early church, and he's wanting them to understand the power of this, and the power of this helps them gain traction and move forward in their life, in their healing, and move forward in their, from unhealthiness to healthiness, from being empty and weak to a place of fullness and completeness. He's helping them move from their hurts and habits and hang-ups, moving them out of that into a place where they can find freedom and the chains can be undone. So here we go. Look, he says this, a family of faith. Look, he's setting the record straight for all of us. For the record, folks, this is what the family of faith is. Not what you think it is, not what your past experience was, but this is what it is. And so he writes, he says this, dear brothers and sisters, if any believer is overcome by sin, you who are godly. Now, what's that mean? My goodness, godly. Who's godly in this house, right? But what that simply means, just you who are mindly of the spiritual things. Now, there's times when I'm not spiritual. Quote unquote, godly. There's times when I may be more spiritual, right? But God's saying those of you who are in the right spirit, those of you who are pursuing truth, those of you who are in the right place, here's what I want you to do. I want you to gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. It's an interesting story, and he's here today. And not only is he here, But Vivian's here too. Will you guys give Vivian a big hand? We love Vivian. You may not know Vivian. She's been a long time since she's been here. They're from Florida. My uncle Keith. And Keith is actually on staff here. He just lives in Florida, right? I don't know how that works, but he does. And he volunteers all his time. He takes care of so much behind-the-scenes stuff that many of you have no clue what all he does. And we love you and honor. We honor you. We thank you. If it wasn't for Keith, folks, we wouldn't be in this building. I promise you that. And those of you who know, you know. But Keith, we appreciate. Here's what happened to me about 3 months ago. I didn't share this with first service, but about 3 weeks ago, Keith's on the phone with me one night, and he was 85% right. I just want to tell you that. There was 15% of what he said was wrong. And he apologized the next day, by the way. I just had to say that for my own, you know, my own sake. But my own flesh gets in the way every once in a while, even up here. But so he says to me on the phone, he's in Florida, I'm going to tell you something right now, and I don't care what you think. And it wasn't very humbly and boldly. That was the 15%, or humbly and gently. It was not gently at all. But he says to me, I don't care what you think. And a matter of fact, if you don't like it, that's all well and good. I don't have to serve with you if you don't like what I have to say. And he shared with me a truth that was very piercing to my heart. And why did he do that? Is he doing that because he wants to beat me down? Is he doing that because he doesn't want me to succeed or me to do well? He does that because he wants to take his, I have to tell you in full disclosure, his nephew, and he wants to place his nephew on the right path. Right? Because he wants me to move forward and not be stuck. And so I had two choices to make in hearing his word. One was to receive it. Or one was not to receive it. There was a big part of my flesh that did not want to receive it. And he knew it. There was another big part. Well, it wasn't in me. It was like a whisper, this gentle voice that said, you need to listen to what he's about to tell you. So I pulled the car over and I heard it. Look, that's what this is here. A family of faith is about helping people find the right path. That is the beauty of being a part of the family of God. And look, some of us who have had negative experiences, we've been hurt, we have been ostracized, or we've been stung in an unhealthy way, and we say to ourselves, I am never going to get tapped into that again. But here's the truth. The truth is if we're not willing to receive that voice of reproof or correction or rebuke, folks, we're going to be stuck for the next 15 to 20 years or a lifetime. I am now losing friends and losing people that I have been in business with, or I have looked up to, or I have known since high school. They are dying in their sin, dying in their stuckness, because they were never willing to open up themselves to rebuke or general reproof. Or they've never tapped into a body that would give them that. Look, here's the truth. A family of faith is about helping people find the right path. Look at this here. It says this, share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important. Wow. Man, that puts you right in your place, right? Look, let me just tell you something, folks, right now, if you don't mind a little gentle rebuke, reproof. Man, none of us here are too important to help someone. You are not too important to serve and help Becca with these young people. You're not too important to be in a life group. I know what you do is important. I know you've got great careers and good jobs, and it's hard to find the time. But I'm telling you something. It is important for us to experience a family of faith that is about sharing each other's burdens and putting yourself in an environment that is safe enough to do that. So we have life groups. We have life group leaders. And We need more life groups and life group leaders. We need more people to say, hey, you know what? I'll fill out this card and I will check because I want to be a part of a life group. I need to be a part of a life group. Look, I have a life group. And my life group, look, where Chris Davis was a part of that life group and that text message. Chris Davis had an accident this week and there was an ambulance and there was a text message that went out from the life group leadership. And it went out saying, pray for Chris Davis because of what he went through this week, going to the hospital. I think he may be here, but we need to pray for Chris Davis. He had a rough, rough week and a lot of pain. What Bernice and Barb and Beth and the rest of you ladies do on Monday night, you read scripture, you study the word and the truth, but it's more than just that. You guys spend time in table groups, in life groups, where you share one another's burdens and you bless each other and pray for each other. Look, that is essential to move from here to there. But we are not a part of it. If you're not a part of it, I'm telling you, you're not gaining the traction that God wants you to have in your life. Verse 4, it says, pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. Look, a family of faith is about paying attention to your own work, not paying attention to what someone else is doing. Not paying attention. Look, my job is to pay attention and do my best with what God has me to do, what God has called me to do. I can't worry about what Chris is doing or Chad's doing or Brian's doing, or I need to focus on what I'm doing. I'm coaching this little league select baseball team, and we just had this issue yesterday. I got these little guys. There's like two or three that I really love, but they are criticizing some of the other players for swinging at pitches above their heads and below their knees when they themselves are taking third called strikes. This was my speech after the game last night, and I was red-faced, man. Little nine-year-olds are sitting there, you know, and I'm like, getting on, you know. Beth gives me that look, you know, like, you need to chill out, you know. But the truth is this, is it so easy to see what everybody else is doing and compare ourselves to everyone else? God wants us to look. Being a part of the family of faith is doing what you can do and doing it to the best of your ability. I believe this. I believe that the problem is that we are challenged with is not that we think that we're too important, or not that we're always judging other people, but the problem I think that we have in this church, and I shared this first service, is this, and this is my discernment. This is what I believe. The reason we have folks here, a part of our community, that aren't doing all that God wants them to do is because they don't think they're good enough. That's what I think. I think there are folks that think there's no way in the world they could ever lead a life group. Or there's no way in the world that they could do what Lee does in orchestrating some of the volunteers and doing this and that and serving in terms of hospitality or working in the children's ministry. Deep down, there is a lie that makes you feel or makes you believe that you are not equipped to do it. Look, let me share this story. I know we're going a little bit long. But my dad always was and has always been in the backdrop. You know, my dad ran the sound. That's what he did. And he always ran the sound at church. And yeah, he would serve on the board. And my dad was a good leader, but never vocal, never really out front. And so about 4 years ago, my dad started making these Facebook posts on Facebook. And if you've not seen them or whatever, go to my Facebook page, find Gary Riddell, and read his posts. These posts are going in groups all over the world. I mean, he's got people in India that's asking him. They don't realize he's I can't tell you his age, but he's up there, 70 something. They want him to come over and speak at these little, you know, in India, you know. But honestly, about 4 years ago, he started making these inspirational posts, and I'm like, Dad, did you get that from Joel Osteen? I mean, they're powerful, like messages, you know, or just the way mindset stuff, the way you think and the way you think and your faith and about, you know, just tapping into the fullness of God. I mean, they are anointed stuff. And I just can't believe, I've never seen my dad write like that. So I asked my dad this. I said, Dad, when? He says, well, I've always loved to write. My dad's 70 some years old. I never knew my dad liked to write. And I said, but Dad, when did you start writing? And I, why haven't you written? Here's what he said to me. When he was in fifth grade, he wrote this paper. And this paper that he wrote won all kinds of these like awards at his high school. Not only that, it won some other award at I don't know what, but it was, you know, a creative writing paper, and he did really, really well. So the teacher's handing out these awards and this recognition, calls my dad up in front of the class and said, here's your award. I know you didn't deserve this because you plagiarized that. And so for all these years, my dad has like held back and not written because of that belief that he took on back then. Thinking that he wasn't good enough to do some of the things he's doing now. See, this, look, my dad's got some healing and truth on this, but I'm telling you, there is a big gap between what, who knows what could have happened if that stupid teacher would have. And here's the truth. This is not about my dad. This is about you. You're no different. God has equipped you to be a part of the body of Christ. And you are not only depriving yourself to living up to the value that God has placed on you, but you are depriving the body. Because every one of us that are here has something to offer. Every one of us here needs the satisfaction of a job well done. To know that you have value. So this is a part of being, this is about being a part of the family of God. Look, it also says this here in verse 6 and 7 and 8 and I believe 9. Look, here's what it says. It says, those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Verse 7, it says this, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own spiritual nature will harvest decay and death from the sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. Look, here's the deal. Verse 7, a family of faith is about not being misled. My dad was misled. Many of us sitting here have been misled. We have been misled, and instead of pursuing these relationships and gaining traction and moving forward out of your pain, you have pursued other things. You have pursued trying to satisfy your own sinful nature, and you're only harvesting decay and death. That's strong words, man. Paul is laying it out. Look, Paul was not a seeker-sensitive preacher. He really didn't care. Because he knew that people needed to hear the hard truth to get where they needed to be. And I'm kind of coming under the same kind of philosophy too, folks. I mean, humbly and gently as I can make it. Look, there are some of us who are just flat out misled. And being misled, you're pursuing things that is causing all kinds of strife. And when we begin to live to please God, when we begin to live to please the Spirit, there will be a harvest, an increase. There will be a manifestation of everlasting life that begins to flow in and through us that can only come from the Spirit of God. And man, when you're tapped in to this, when you are connected into this, and this whole message is about being connected, connected with others and connected with God, connected with the body of Christ. When you are connected and you begin to live by the Spirit and you begin to move as the Spirit leads you inside to move, doing goodness and following Him and by choice, by faith, pursuing those things that God wants, man, I cannot tell you the joy that comes from that. It's worth more than anything in this world. It's worth more than all the money in the world. Look, last thing is this. Don't get tired of doing good. Number five. That's what a family of faith is all about. Verse 9. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap that harvest of blessing I was just talking about. If we don't give up, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of God. Right on? Right on. Guys, I'm telling you, there is goodness that comes from all. When we as a church tap into the goodness of God, and we, God begins to just pour this goodness out. We just well up with goodness and we begin to ooze goodness all over the place. And when you begin to experience that, there is nothing in the world like it. That's really what life is all about, is doing good. Imagine a family of faith that never stops doing good. When you begin to do good, man, you get out of your rut. You talk about getting traction, man, you're peeling out. I mean, a body of Christ so full of goodness that it just oozes out into a community that is filled with hate and strife and nastiness. Man, people can't help but take notice, and God can't help but be blessed. And it begins, all of this stuff combined and all put together is just all a representation of this God the Father that loved us so much that He was willing to send His only begotten Son so that you and Him might, so that we might be able to have life and have it more abundantly. And really, that's what being stuck is. It's not having that abundant life that God has called each one of us to have. Let's all stand. Father God, thank you so much. I thank you, God, for my family of faith. I thank you, God, for how they correct and rebuke me, for how they share good things, how they share my burdens. I thank you, God, for the benefit and the blessing of being plugged in to a community that doesn't abuse me, doesn't beat me up, doesn't try to make me feel bad, doesn't try to, Lord, manipulate me. God, I pray that this church family would always be like that, that we would always have a culture that's about being a brother and a sister. A culture that's about being real and transparent. A church culture that's about loving each other and helping each other to move forward in the right path. And God, there are people that are stuck right here. They're stuck right now. And they're stuck because they're stuck not of their own doing, but they're stuck because some of us are stuck. We've been misled. Or we don't think we're good enough, or we have not followed through with what you want us to do. And Lord, they're stuck because we're stuck. And I recognize today, and hopefully I can peel back this curtain and share this truth and get past all the lies and get past areas of our life where we've all been misled. And I can help in some way try to communicate as best I can what Paul wrote, what you gave Paul to write to this church in Galatia. Help me to just, Lord, I just pray that the Holy Spirit would just pull this curtain back. And all of us sitting here would just say, oh my gosh, that's what a church is supposed to be like. I thought it was something else. Help us to see it, Lord, for what it really is. Right on, church? Right on, man. Right on. Help us to see it for what it is, not what it ain't. And help us, Lord, to grow in truth and in grace. And I feel the whole, I feel the Lord right now, I just feel the Holy Spirit speaking to me and saying that there are some that are really, really stuck in their own negative experience. And it's really hard for some to get past that. And if that's you right now, with every head bowed and eye closed, I just want to walk you through this. And I want to hopefully grab your hand and put your hand into Jesus' hand and maybe just pull you out of this place that you're in. And if that's you right now and you identify with this message and you identify with this idea of not gaining traction, you've been hurt, beat up, bruised, stung. And you want to get past it. Will you just raise your hand right where you're at? I see those hands. I see that all over right here. Thank you, God. I see that. Any others? See those? I see those. I see those. So, pray with me, church, would you? I want to start out before just 30 seconds. I just want to say to you, I am sorry to all of you who have been hurt by a church. And Lord, not only am I sorry for another church or whatever, I'm also, Lord, I repent before you. And I pray, God, you would forgive the church. Forgive the clergy. Forgive preachers and pastors and those who have taken advantage. Help us, Lord, to see today what it truly is, what it really is, and help us to live up to that. And those of you who raise your hand, those of you who need help this morning, just say, Father, heal me. Father, help me. Father, give me what I need to move forward. Put people around me, God, to raise me up and to pull me out. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Happy Mother's Day, guys.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.